The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
He's Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We boss up and give the people.
Yes. Yes.
What they want.
We have a story about Mike Tyson and toad venom. But before we get to that, we start with this. Giannis Antetokounmpo every once in a while reminds everybody that he is Giannis Antetokounmpo. And he did so last night against the Lakers. AD had 18. Giannis had 47 points. What did you think about the former Finals MVP, former two-time league MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo's dominant performance?
There's levels to this.
What are the levels?
One of these guys has been a regular season MVP and a Finals MVP.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I saw last night without LeBron James on the floor. And if you look at that footage, it's going around Anthony Davis. It's going through Anthony Davis. And he's shooting threes over Anthony Davis. And if you want to say the total points, how about halftime? One guy had 28, the other guy only had 8. That was even worse as they were building their lead. And so this game was about the dominance. Yes, it was great to see Bobby Portis play well.
Yep.
It was a team victory. Chris Middleton returned, but this is about Giannis dominating AD. Let's not even ignore that's what took place.
It was about these two stars, because you said before the season, we did tons of preseason talk, that Anthony Davis is going to be one of the players in the league that swings their team's performance.
Correct.
And especially with LeBron James out, you need more from Anthony Davis.
Yes, and it's not just stats. And shout out to THT, who played really well for the Lakers
again. A couple games in a row now.
No doubt about it, but it's the impact of those plays. And that's what I saw from Giannis, timely, dominant plays. You know what I'm saying? To compound it. And so I was looking like they're winning because of him. That's what the Lakers going to need to be with AD, in particular when LeBron isn't available.
Well, I look at this Lakers team. They're 8-8 right now. And I don't look at them like, oh, they're losing because LeBron is out. They're not LeBron James away. Now, LeBron James is 50-50 to play on Friday against the Celtics. But the Lakers are in legit trouble. We knew it was going to take some time for them to gel with these new pieces, but this isn't good.
We talked about this last year. There's never been a team to come either from the 8th spot, probably the 7th, if I recall correctly, and win the NBA championship. The road is just too tough.
Mm-hmm.
You have no room for error. So now you're hovering around 500. You start to get on the run. You make the playoffs. If the Lakers are lowered in the 5 seed, they're going to get bounced.
We saw it last year.
We saw it last year against the Suns. If they're lowered in a 5 seed, they're not winning the West.
You and I both had the Lakers coming into
Correct.
The NBA Finals from the Western Conference.
I did.
How do you feel about that right now?
I'm going to make sure I reserve my total judgment until I see the Kang back in the lineup.
I want to see.
I ain't going.
Let's also not forget that when Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James came together, they also sputtered out of the gate when they started. So I'm giving them some time to gel and get together.
And by the way, did you see the dunk Bronny did? The
360?
It was crazy. It reminded me of something. The last time I saw LeBron play, did he do a double pump backwards
reverse,
dunk?
Reverse. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Other side of the basket.
Got it.
So something tells me he's not even that hurt. You know what I mean? Like abdominal strain. Like, all right. We'll see if he plays on Friday. But he was warming up. He's looking pretty good. So he's got the Dewey on.
He's on his sheet loose. He got his waist length mink do-rag under his fitted. And he definitely don't want waves.
Well,
halfway new. Shot the West Side Gun with the new Timberland deal.
One team that actually did come out of the Western Conference into the NBA Finals last year and beat the Lakers in the postseason are the Phoenix Suns, and they have now won 10 games in a row. They started 1-3, and I was concerned. They've won 10 games in a row. They beat the Mavs. Now, Luka didn't play, but KP played. Hardaway played, Brunson played, and the Suns got a big win. And Jalen Rose, I want you to look at this one play from Devin Booker. Because Devin Booker had himself a game last night, but it was this one improvising. Look at him going around KP. Lit his spin to 11 and under KP. Woo! Love it.
That's how you use a cinnamon roll. That's nasty. And the thing is about that play, when you watch the Phoenix Suns play, I want you guys to always pay attention to something. Of course, Devin Booker is a terrific prospect. Chris Paul's a future Hall of Famer. Aiden's a number one pick who's been dominant, takes advantage of the smalls. Bridges is developed. I can go on and on about their team. But I want you guys to pay attention to how they run their offense. Normally, when you watch an NBA team play, you're going to see at least three guys perched at the three line.
Yep.
At all times. That ain't like that with them. It's moving. It's misdirection. It's cutting. That's how Devin Booker got that play.
Ball movement. Like, they have multiple possessions with, like, three, four, five passes. Swing, swing, swing. Open players, cutters. Like, I watched the Nets against the Warriors, and then I watched this Suns team last night. It's like two different sports.
Correct.
It's like watching two different sports.
Is.
The Nets are just isolation. KD, you go. James Harden, you go. The Suns are sending picks for each other. They're moving the ball. It's a two different
sports. Ball has energy. You don't know who to guard. And then all of a sudden, Crowder pops open. He gets a couple of threes. That's what happens with the ball moving. The play that you just showed, it was really just a rub almost with DeAndre Ayton and Booker. You're going to figure out what the help is. You throw it backside to Bridges. He get a wide open three. Like, normally, you're not playing against. That's college stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, NBA players, like, I'm going to stand right here next to my guy.
In the corner.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right, who I get to stand next to? All right, cool, boom. But you can't do that against them, and that's really good culture.
10 wins in a row. Now, listen, I'm going to say, I like to admit when I'm wrong. And I thought last year it might have been a little bit of luck, a little of aberration. I didn't see them getting back to the success they had last year. But they have proved me wrong thus far in this season. Now, it's worth saying again that the Mavs were without Luka. But a win is a win against an NBA team, and they've won 10 in a row.
It was still good to see my guys on the other side, like Jalen Brunson and Tim Hardaway mm-hmm. Jr. Like I told you, they still show up, right? Yeah. But for the Phoenix Suns, I agree that it's easy to overlook what they achieved last year because each round they played against a team, the other team had a major injury.
Yeah.
That's an absolute fact. And they didn't perform well in the finals, clearly, which is why they lost. So that's a fair thing to actually say about them, but I like how they've responded to that.
They played really well. And two teams going in different directions played last night. The Blazers have sputtered out of the gate. The Bulls have started out hot. And I was watching this one, and let me tell you something. End of the game, Bulls didn't look great. Like, they had some trouble finishing. Zach LaVine took a weird shot with about 50 seconds mm-hmm. left that just didn't make any sense. He had a good game. But, Jalen, what do you think about this win from Dame and the Blazers?
Well, Portland just better at home. And you and I know we can rely on the Mama's boys. They're going to find a way, CJ and Dame, to ball out.
Yep.
And it was good to see Norman Powell making some plays. But the elephant in the room is Nurkic.
Nurkic.
You know what I mean? Like, he's the numbers that he's getting at home is basically double-double. On the road, double-single. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They're going to need that balance. They need that size. They need those points in the paint right there. That changes the trajectory so very much yeah. of how they run their offense and the usage of Dame and being able to slow the game down and get back on defense so guys like Covington can do what they do. So it's important for the big fella to actually get them some productivity, not just at home, but also on the road.
If you're Dame, if you're a Blazers fan, you're saying, last year, we didn't have Nurkic. He was hurt. Well, guess what? You have Nurkic now, but it seems like you don't have him every single night, and that's what they need for them to be successful. This was a big win for them against the Bulls, who've been playing really, really well. I love what the Bulls are doing.
I do, too. And like I told you, you look at the stat sheet. Now, DeRozan and LaVine will always have 25. The difference is when they're efficient, they're going to win. Mm-hmm. When they're not, they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what happened in the game. And that's like, goes into like the shots that you was talking about. Yeah, for
DeRozan didn't play great last night. And LaVine at the end, just some very questionable decisions. Like, that was a close game. This is like a one-point game. LaVine was just like taking some tricky shots. And DeRozan dropped the ball, picked it up. It was wild. Jalen, do you remember Bing Bong? Do you remember Bing Bong?
I do.
Do you remember how excited the city was about the Bing Bong?
I do.
You know, partying outside of MSG.
Yeah, I do.
Bing Bong is now Bing Wrong because they have, lost 6 of their last 9 games. They've now lost to the Magic, the Orlando Magic, twice. And shout to the Magic. Cole Anthony's been playing well this year, but I'm concerned about the Knicks.
The reason why you should be concerned about the Knicks is the geometry of the floor. I was happy to see Mitchell Robinson get a double-double. Really happy to see Obi Toppin getting minutes.
Yep, he's playing better this year.
Right? He's going to morph for them to me into be like a new age version for Tibbs, kind of what Taj was for him. You know, he's improved his three-point shot. He's a really good young athlete. But when you're playing those bigs, those quality minutes, now Julius Randle don't have as much room to roam.
Julius Randle hasn't taken the leap that we need him to take.
No, it's because of this now. It's because that now role man, that now help guy is in the paint. Before, that weaker or that five guy was guarding him. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So a Knicks team, and one of the reasons why they lost, crazy isolations late. They weren't running anything. That's what ended up happening. R.J. Barrett did an isolation. That didn't work out too well. And so Derrick Rose got an outlet pass and threw a turnover that led to an alley-oop. And so the decision-making lately, late, was really bad. But shout to the Magic, because they done beat them twice.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So now Terrence Ross hanging on the rim and Jalen Suggs playing with, like, they're an NBA team. So it's like, y'all are excited about the Knicks. Hey, Tracy Morgan, cool. Right? But they went in there and beat him.
They did.
Cole Anthony on the right side, he was shooting his floater.
Cole Anthony's been playing well.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm concerned. It is not Bing Bong. It is Bing Wrong until they get right. Jalen, it is now time for News That Matters. Jalen, you and I are old enough to remember the greatness that is Mike Tyson. We saw him in his prime, not just what he did in the ring, which is unlike anything I've ever seen, but his personality outside of the ring. And the latest news that matters is this, that Mike Tyson said that he was smoking toad venom.
I was about to say something else.
And then died.
What?
But he didn't die. He quote-unquote died while using toad venom.
Toad venom is
the Sonoran Desert Toad, whose venom Mr. Tyson used to open his mind and connect to himself, and he credits the toad venom for turning his life around. Jalen, are we hitting some toad venom after the show today?
I love Mike Tyson so much, I definitely must get him on the show to ask him about this. I have so many follow-up questions. I have to ask you one.
He got toads in his crib. He's now raising them. He's got a toad ranch. I'm not kidding.
I got to ask you something. Have you ever done something and died?
No, I've not done something.
So, and Mike Tyson don't lie.
I think he died. I think he died. I'm glad he died in quotes, but I'm pretty sure he did die and come back. But one thing about Mike Tyson that I will never forget, and we have to ask him about when you get him on the show, is this clip of him referencing me.
Shout to T.I.
as your little guy.
The king.
But also, Tip and Mike. Mike and Tip.
I like that. Because I see Jalen Rose has his little guy with him, Jalen and Jacob.
Right.
Kobe and Jalen.
So I'll be the little guy.
Tip and Mike. Tip and Tyson.
I like that he put my name first. I'm officially changing the name of the show to Jacoby and Jalen. That lady, Sasha Banks, WWE superstar, joins us on the show right after this. Coming to you live from the Seaport in New York City and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose joining us right now. The star of Friday Night SmackDown. WWE superstar. That lady right there, Sasha Banks, joins the program. Sasha, thank you so much for taking the time.
Hey, what's up?
It is so nice to have you on the program. You have a huge weekend ahead of you. It is the 5-on-5 Survivor Series Elimination Match. What can we expect from you this weekend?
You can expect the blueprint, Sasha Banks, to lead the blue brand to victory. You know, SmackDown hasn't really had a lot of chances to lead on top for a couple of years at Survivor Series. So the legit boss that I am, I have to lead my team to victory.
That's where I was going. Raw versus SmackDown. Who has the better champions entering the WWE Survivor Series?
It has to be me. You got Sasha Banks, you got Natalya Neidhart, you got Shotzi. I mean, me and Shotzi doesn't get along right now. You have Shayna Baszler. SmackDown is just where it's at. I know Raw has a good team ahead of them. They have Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, but SmackDown's just, it's where it's at, baby.
Well, you know, when we were coming up, there wasn't that many female wrestlers, but right now in the game, it seems like the females have completely taken over, led by you. How do you feel about the way that the game has changed the last couple of years, couple decades?
Man, it's so incredible, and it's incredible to be a leader of a pack of it. This woman's revolution and evolution has just been unstoppable. From main eventing WrestleMania to being in so many first time evers, it's just so incredible to be part of this women's division right now.
Our OG, friend of the program, Snoop Dogg, is your cousin.
Hey. Yes.
What type of influence has he been for your in-ring persona?
I mean, everything. He has helped me so much with my persona, my character. He's where I got that boss character from, you know. When I was a kid, I used to go around with him, and everybody used to say, hey, boss this, hey, boss that. And I'm like, I want to be called the boss. I want to be treated like that. So I took that from seeing him as a kid, and I got to be turned into the legit boss that you see today.
Now, you've got such a unique and entertaining wrestling style. Who are some of your influences coming up in the game?
My number one has always been Eddie Guerrero. He's been such a high flyer, a technique, a ground and pound. I love Kurt Angle, Rey Mysterio. Those are just like my top three of all time. And of course, I have to throw in Trish Stratus.
So I have to ask you, do you really have beef with Ronda Rousey? What's up with that?
I mean, there's no beef. There's no true hate. You know, you got to respect every woman in the game. She came up in the UFC, a woman of her own craft, but she came into my game, okay? She came into my household and my
circle. Talk that talk.
When I am the leader, when I am the legit boss, when I am the top of the company, you just can't just come in and try to knock me off my pedestal, knock me off my spotlight. She will always be number two, and I'm always going to be number one.
Well, you are number one here on Jalen and Jacoby. Now, you and Bianca Belair made history by being the first black women to face off in a WrestleMania match. What does it feel like to break that kind of ground and lead the future generations?
It still sometimes doesn't even hit me that truly happened. But it did, because, you know, I earned that. We earned that. We did that. We created one of the greatest WrestleMania history moments of all time. And to do that with Bianca Belair, to do that for so many young women and young men all over the world, that they can look at us and be like, holy wow, because they did it, we can do that too. It's so incredible to be part of history, and I'm just so thankful.
And that history has made you extremely popular, 5 million people on Instagram. So what is it like for you, this newfound celebrity, based on all of the people that's supporting all of the things that you're doing?
Well, honestly, it's nothing new. You know, anytime I send out a little tweet, a little Instagram like, I get a lot of emojis, a lot of fires, a lot of hearts, you know, so I just send that reception back. I give it right back to them. I'm so thankful for my fans. They are incredible. I get to hear it loud every single week. And I can't wait to hear it this Sunday at Survivor Series at the Barclays Center.
Survivor Series Sunday right here in our backyard in New York City. We cannot wait to see you.
Yes, indeed.
What advice do you have for young women that look up to you and want to be like you?
Never give up. Be number one. Be top of your game. Don't let any male or female stop you. You have to be the best at what you do. Follow your heart, and that's going to take you everywhere you want to go.
Boss up. I do it before every show. We appreciate you joining us.
The boss in the building. Thank you so much, Sasha. Can't wait to watch you this weekend at the Barclays Center. And you're always welcome to celebrate your victories right here on Jalen and Jacoby.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more. That man, Mac Jones, has been on a tear. Can he continue it tonight against the Falcons? We'll find out, and we'll preview the game right after this. doubleheader. Friday night on ESPN, two-storied franchises face off in Boston. The Lakers against the Celtics at 7:30, and then in the nightcap, the Mavs, without Luka but with KP, face off against the Suns at 10 p.m. It's all preceded by NBA Countdown with Jalen Rose at 7 p.m. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, tonight we have Thursday Night Football. The Patriots look good.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones mm-hmm. looks good.
He does.
They face off against the Falcons. Do you expect the Patriots to get the win?
The Falcons just got waxed a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots just waxed someone else a few days ago. And you mentioned Mac Jones looked great, spreading the football good. Around to a lot of different
Browns
people.
The Browns defense made him look
absolutely. Like, so yes, I anticipate more of the same. And this looks like a typical Bill Belichick team that seems to be getting better incrementally each week.
Jalen, we all watched the Nets look bad against the Warriors mm-hmm. on that national TV
because
stage.
They're better.
But they had another game against the Cavs, who've been surprisingly good out of the gate, and the Nets bounced back, looked pretty good last night. James Harden looked like himself again. Can they expect this kind of production from Harden night after night?
I don't know.
Me neither.
No Evan Mobley for the Cavs. Yeah. Here's what I see. You see that pace that Harden's playing with?
Mm-hmm.
He ain't been playing with that same pace every night.
It's wild.
Right? So when they're without their two top twin towers and Jared Allen as well, yeah, that's an opportunity for the Nets to get going offensively. James Harden took advantage of it, as you see. But if he's hobbled and he's trying to protect his hamstring, they should sit him down for 2 to 4 weeks.
Every opportunity we get to celebrate the greatness that is LaMelo Ball, we're going to do so. Now, he only had 11 points, but he had 14 assists
for
the Hornets in a win against the streaking Wizards. I love LaMelo so much.
And it's who they did it against, mm-hmm. right? The Wizards have been one of those teams we've talked a lot about, and rightfully so. They got off to a terrific start, so that's a big-time win by the Hornets on their home floor.
Very big win for the Hornets. I want to thank Sasha Banks for coming through. You can see her this weekend in the Survivor Series, and we will be back every day at 4 p.m. on ESPN2. Cannot sing. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content with our guests, joined by WWE superstar, the boss, Sasha Banks. Now, me and my son have seen every episode of The Mandalorian like 7 times, and you had the opportunity to be on the program. What was that experience like for you?
Once in a lifetime. What a dream come true that it wasn't even a dream. How is that even possible? I have it in my background. I have to pinch myself that I wasn't even in it. But it was such an amazing experience, and I'm just so thankful to be part of the Star Wars universe.
Star Wars universe. I have to admit, I've never seen
a second of Star Wars.
So you guys are speaking a foreign language to me right now.
Tell Jalen what he's missing.
How can he be part of this?
She just smacked you up.
The world alone, and I just have seen one thing of Star Wars. You just have to.
I know the characters.
No,
Han Solo,
no.
R2-D2.
Don't embarrass yourself.
Darth Vader.
You're embarrassing me now.
I was watching
Blaxploitations and Scarface and all of that when that started.
Okay, but you need to start on Star Wars now. The Mandalorian. That's the place to start with Sasha Banks.
Yes, indeed.
Done. There you go.
Now that you're a friend of the show and we are huge fans of yours, and I'm going to make sure I support now. The only reason why I downloaded Hulu was to watch Wu-Tang. The only reason why I'm going to do Mandalorian is go represent for you. No doubt.
Thank you. Hope to make you a fan.
Well, one of our long-running segments is Soft Move or Boss Move, and you are the boss. Where did that nickname come from?
It came from Snoop Dogg. It came from my cousin Snoop Dogg. I just used to watch him and see people call him the boss, and I wanted to be called just like that.
So I have to ask you, with Snoop and Daz being related to you, I believe Brandy and Ray J being related to you, what was it like for you growing up at a period of time where these are some of the biggest artists in the world?
Oh, crazy. It's still crazy. and still the greatest artist in the world. Okay, it hasn't stopped. Snoop Dogg is an icon, a legend. He's on top of his game in 2021. Probably the most talked about right now. Every time you turn on a television, who is it? Mm-hmm. Snoop. The next commercial, Snoop. The next commercial, Snoop. Mm-hmm. He has his album coming out this Friday. He is such an icon and a legend and someone that I still just follow to this day that everybody needs to look up to him. He gives so much love to this world. Mm-hmm. He does it in such a unique way, with just like such his heart just out there. That's just a crazy bloodline that I'm just so blessed to be part of.
Well, a lot of people see you on SmackDown and they see you perform, but what they don't see is the sacrifice and you being in the gym and you putting the work in. So tell people what they're missing behind the scenes and how much work you put in to be the superstar you are.
Oh, I probably am in the gym 6 days out of the week, yoga on the seventh day, no sleep. I'm traveling every single day out of the year. I'm probably home one day out of the week. It's nonstop sacrifice to do this. It's a sacrifice on your body, a sacrifice with your family. You barely get to see them. But I love it because I get to travel all over the world and get to entertain thousands to millions and get to like connect with so many different people. It's such a different connection with our WWE universe that's just so untouchable. It's such a unique experience that you kind of have to experience live. Once you do it, there's just that connection and you're always a part of our family forever. But it's just something that it's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the blood, the sweat, the tears. And I've just been doing it for so long that I just can't stop.
How is it to be at the forefront of the WWE movement as it relates to not only women, but black women? I feel it's similar to what I saw in the WNBA. Like initially people didn't understand it. It was a great game. Go support them, give them the opportunity. And before you know it, they got that opportunity and they have great ratings. Now you guys, the exact same thing. You've gotten the opportunity. You're starring on Fridays. You're rating really well. So what is it like for you to be at the forefront of that movement?
It's incredible. It's incredible. Not only is it just in ratings, it's main eventing these TV shows. It's main eventing the top of our pay-per-views as in WrestleMania. It's having the men talk about you and Twitter talk about you and being like, hey, I'm coming to the show to see the women. The women are always on top of their game. And right now it's the best it's ever been. The future is brighter than ever. And to be the forefront of that, to lead the pack, it's a blessing. It's everything that I've ever wanted. And I'm so thankful to be part of it.
And you are an absolute superstar in the ring, but we've seen a lot of crossover from the ring to the screen. The Rock comes to mind, John Cena comes to mind, Dave Bautista comes to mind. You were in The Mandalorian. What can we expect from you as it turns to film and TV roles?
Ooh, you're gonna have to keep on watching. I mean, next year is just gonna be bigger and bigger and bigger for myself. I've been really booked and busy, so I'm so excited for when I can announce the up-and-coming projects.
So when it's time to announce them, this can be your announcement parking spot anytime you want to promote something. We got your thank back. We appreciate the love and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
y'all. Sasha Banks, WWE superstar. You can see her this weekend at the Survivor Series Elimination Match and every Friday on SmackDown. Thank you so much for joining the show.
Thing that you want from me.
Want to thank Sasha Banks for coming through, giving us time, not just for the TV show. She stays for the podcast listeners.
That's love. That's love right there.
She's great. Superstar in the WWE.
Check her out on Fridays.
This
doing her thing.
Weekend at the Barclays Center. Mm-hmm. Every Friday on SmackDown. So, Jalen, I got to talk to you about something. What's going on with your outfit, dog? For those listening to the podcast, Jalen has leather sleeves. A black button-up, like a tailored camouflage suit. Like, you haven't been home since Doha. So, like, where did this come from? Did you have this in Doha?
I thought I might have to break it out in Doha.
Too hot.
It was too
hot.
You can't
have leather sleeves in Doha.
I was like, in the Middle East, once we got over there, I was like, oh, put this in park. You know what I mean? And again, like, what I like to do, fam, is
tell the people what you're doing later this afternoon.
Oh, later this afternoon, I'm doing an interview with two of my favorite guys in the game, Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. I'm coming to do All the Smoke, fellas.
Jalen Rose is going to be appearing on All the Smoke. Now, I know the title of the show is All the Smoke, but you know it's not legal in New York yet, okay? Don't let them coerce you. Don't let them coerce you into breaking any laws. Okay, Mr. Rose?
They wouldn't do such a thing.
I know that you're very impressionable.
They wouldn't do such a thing.
I know you're very impressionable.
Those guys wouldn't blow clouds in the air.
I know you're very impressionable. Now, when we went to Doha, big shout out to everybody. Blank, one team, everyone in Doha, on the ground in Qatar. The world is going to see what an amazing culture they have there in Qatar when the world Cup gets there. But Tracy McGrady was there with us. And he wasn't named as one of the top 75 players in the National Basketball Association history. And that is just not correct. Now, he was asked about it, and he said that Dwight Howard is more deserving than Anthony Davis to be in the top 75 list. A lot of people look at Dwight Howard, and they see the guy that was on the 76ers, the guy that was on the Lakers, the guy that was now on the Lakers. And they don't see him as a top 75 talent. Do you think that Dwight Howard is deserving of such a spot?
Shout to my peeps, Ashley Nicole Moss, who did that interview with our guy T-Mac. I believe for Sports Illustrated. She got so many shows, she killing them. The Dwight Howard AD comparison. They've been asked to do two different things in their careers in a lot of ways. If both of their careers ended today, Anthony Davis would be acknowledged as the better player because he's more skilled.
Yeah.
He could dribble, pass, and shoot. Like, yeah. We see that. It's like,
yeah. Dwight Howard, if Dwight Howard takes a three, it's the end of the court.
Right. Yeah. So, in theory, when you're saying better, you know, he could dribble, pass, and shoot. So, like, but if they both stop playing today, Dwight Howard has actually accomplished more than Anthony Davis.
I would say this. Dwight Howard's peak is higher than Anthony Davis's peak, but I would say that Anthony Davis's body of work over time is probably puts him ahead of Dwight Howard in my book.
Okay, and here's one of the things in the NBA that separates the conversation and settles debate. They give out awards each year.
Mm-hmm.
Even I got one. They most give out
approved.
Awards.
Most approved.
They get out. And you know, I wasn't the only person working on my game that summer. You know what I mean? So they give out awards for stuff like this. And Dwight Howard won Defensive Player of the Year three straight times. I believe the only people that ever do that is Hakeem and Mutombo. And this is like off the dome. The other thing I'm going to say, Dwight Howard, I believe, has led the league in rebounds maybe 7 to 10 times. I don't think Anthony Davis has ever done that.
No. I would say I'll take the under on 10 times, but sure.
And how about this? Of course, Shaq is a different level of like all-time greatness.
Don't even mention Shaq.
I'm going to mention him because
the only thing they got in common is the uniform, dog.
Shaq has never led the league in rebounds, and Shaq has never won Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to tell you is Anthony Davis has an offensive weapon. People will initially see him walk into the gym and say he's a better player than Dwight Howard. But what I'm trying to tell you defensively and what he's accomplished, if they both stop playing today, Dwight Howard actually accomplished more.
Well, Anthony Davis had his chance to lead his team somewhere with the Pelicans.
Nigga, the Pelicans play!
And Dwight Howard led his team to the finals with the Magic. Led his team. I mean, of course, there were some other players in that team that contributed.
Hedo Turkoglu, Rashard Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis Turkoglu. Like, they had, you know...
My guy Skip got injured.
Didn't they have Stoudemire?
Jameer Nelson.
Jameer Nelson, that's who it is. I always get them confused.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, shout out to Dwight Howard. And also Tracy McGrady. What he didn't mention in the interview, which he won't mention, is he deserves to be on that list. We're talking about Anthony Davis and Dwight Howard. He deserves to be on that list.
Hey, dog, let me tell you guys something about the era that I played in. I was thinking about this looking at the back of T-Mac's head. It reminded me of the time he scored 50 on me in three quarters. I've seen the back of that head a lot. You know what I mean?
When you're supposed to be in front of him.
You're correct. You caught that.
In your own form.
And I was thinking, like, wait a minute. Like, just think of some of the guys that I played against every night. This ain't, like, the era that I played in. I mean, played against every night. That's different. That means when you go to Chicago, there's Mike and Scotty. When you go to New York, it's Allen Houston and Sprewell. Jamal Mashburn. Big Dog. Like, all these dudes, like, 25-point scorers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so many more.
Kobe Bryant comes to mind.
Kobe Bean Bryant. Tracy McGrady. Vince Carter. Grant Hill. Like, this is every game.
You're to cover them, too.
Yeah, this is every game. Ain't no nights off, fam. And you know how the game was then. It wasn't like, oh, you gonna stand next to the power forward that ain't gonna score. Or you gonna stand next to the shooting guard that can't shoot. It's like, that's your man. Like Belly, that's your man.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate the era that I played in, but I saw a Reg the Legend post that reminded me of something that I said.
Reginald the Legend?
On this program. That I gotta make sure I continue to foster. Steph Curry is a modern day Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. He was the first dude between the legs, behind the back, throwing it behind the back, pump faking, making people jump before he shot the ball.
Mm-hmm. I remember him at LSU when he was Chris Jackson. Killing. Killing.
He had 50. Well, anytime you play with Shaq and you're the best player?
Easily. I wasn't even close. Well, they only overlapped for one season, right?
Let me tell you what made the Fab Five run so special my freshman year. Players like Shaq was still in college. Just think about that for a second. Shaq was still in college.
They had another center. I remember Twin
Roberts.
Towers. Yeah, I remember they was like, yeah. Shaq wasn't the only big man on the team. They had Twin Towers. I remember watching the games.
Stanley Roberts.
LSU.
That's how tough college was then.
Well, we don't need to celebrate the Fab Five because I had Reggie look up getting us a statue. I'm telling you, we're going to get a statue. I'm going to put it in the U-Haul. I'll drive that thing from New York all the way to Ann Arbor.
I'm experienced.
Put that thing right on campus and let them take it
down.
I'm
going to tell you the ultimate Fab Five respect. I'm going to tell you the ultimate that can never be taken away from us. You ready for it? Juwan got a 5-year deal.
Good for Juwan. Good for Ann Arbor. Good for the Wolverines. Good.
Juwan got a 5-year deal.
All hell to Victor's.
So, you know what I'm saying? He eat, we eat, I eat. You know what I'm saying? That's my brother. Congratulations.
Now, one thing I know about Reginald the Legend is he likes us to get the people involved. So we're running overtime, but we got enough time to
my
hit a voicemail.
I got it on IG Live.
Our voicemails are fueled by Gatorade. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is there to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. We got time for one voicemail. If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show
I got to say something.
No, because I could tell Reggie already said in your ear, it's not even your joke.
No, I'm just you're just getting on my outfit. He said, Brandon Lowe, who's on IG Live, said you look like an AKA.
That's what my wife said this morning, too. My wife said the exact same thing this morning when I was leaving the house. She said the exact same thing this morning when I was leaving the house. And then she goes, do you know what that is? And I was like, yes, I know what that is. Your mom was an AKA. Voicemail, man.
Yo, this is Jeff calling from the Mountain West. Shout out Reg. Shout out the whole crew. Shout out everybody that's been listening to the pod since J&J popped the trunk. I got a question. I need you to help me to educate my children. How many text messages or DMs or WeChat, how many digital messages can you send or should you send before you pick up the phone and make a phone call? Before you talk voice to voice. what kind of conversations do you have with your voice versus which ones do you have on text? Like, give the kids some lessons. And maybe I'm just old, so, you know, you could say that too. You could just say, Jeff, you're washed. Like, that's a stupid question. But help me teach my kids. They won't listen to me, but they'll listen to J&J. Thanks a lot, guys. Keep getting them texts. Peace.
Jeff, I'm washed too. I get on the phone. I pick up the phone and I will call you. I will call you. I'll use text if I have one thing to say in one sentence only. Running 5 minutes late. That's a text. Be there at 2:30. That's a text. But don't ever text me like, just want to check in with you. Well, then check in. How are you? Ask me. That's a phone call conversation. I think that you can get so much more by actually hearing the voice, getting the intonations, listening to somebody, talking to somebody. I will get on the phone. Everybody under 30, I'll call you. They don't pick up. And then they text back, what's up? What's up is I called you. That's what's up.
I believe, thank you for the call. Appreciate the love and the continued support. I believe there are levels to text. Sometimes for me, I'm texting because I can't use the phone. I may be tied up, or I may be texting somebody that I'm in an audience in front of other people that I don't want them to necessarily hear the conversation that I'm texting. But the overarching thing I would say is paragraph texts are too long.
Yeah.
That's the overarching thing. And I'm not talking about work-related stuff. I'm talking about, like, you sending me a paragraph when you could just call me. Like, for me, a text is a bullet. An email is an explanation. A phone call is a summary of both. That's how I look at it.
Well, Jalen's so old that he'll leave me a voicemail. And then I'll call him back and he'll say, did you listen to the voicemail? And I'll be like, no one listens to the voicemail.
I'm going
to
tell you.
And he'll hang up and say, listen to the voicemail, and then call me back. That's one of the funniest things that ever happened in our relationship.
I'm going to tell you why. For those that don't leave voicemails, I want to pull your coat to something.
What's that?
There's a reason why I called you. Because I wanted to tell you something.
I called you back.
There's a reason why you didn't answer. You were busy.
I saw your name on my phone. That's why I didn't
answer. Whatever reason. So I'm telling you on your voicemail what I was going to tell you. So now when you call me back in 5 minutes or 30 minutes or 3 hours, I might forget what I was calling to talk to you about. You ain't the only person in my life that I need to talk to. So therefore, when I got you dialed in, I'm going to unload what I was trying to tell you. That's all.
Big shout to the team that played before my rec league game last night.
Before?
All Asian. They took a loss, but they had some talent. And they were big fans of Jalen and Jacoby. And like 8 of them stayed to watch me play.
That's love.
And they waited until I got a bucket. And then they gave a big applause, and then they bounced.
Really?
If I had known they were staying, I would have felt too much pressure. I would have missed a shot. But big shout to them. Appreciate their support. Big shout to the Flyers. Big win last night. We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that?
We're
Jalen?
Not done.
Anthony Rose.
We're not done. We are not done.
Do it, Reggie.